That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more. When it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel
is
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
It's Saturday morning. We welcome you to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And I think we got Josh on the line. Josh, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
All right. We had some board problems the last week or two. And, we've got an old Mackie board here that's, well, it's been around a while. Let's say that. And I think we had an output on it fail. And that was one of the problems we had. But I think we got it fixed now. Had to get in there and make some adjustments, but anyway, that's good. Well, good morning, Josh.
Good morning, sir. How's your week went?
It's done very well here. You guys had all the rain the last few weeks. Well, we out here got about 6 inches of snow this week. It's wintertime till tomorrow. Tomorrow being the first day of spring, March 20th, the spring equinox, but that's okay. So winter's kind of going out like a lion, and we are about 10 degrees right now. Didn't get quite as cold as they thought it was going to get this morning, but 10 with 6 inches of snow is cold enough, I can tell you that. But we are abundantly blessed here. I am, I'd have to say I'm probably, Josh, the most blessed man in the country today, and I might elaborate on that a little bit, but I think I am. We talked just a little bit this morning before the program just about, you know, being thankful for what we have, and we certainly should. So, well, Josh, if you'll open us up in prayer, we'll get right on here with Coffee with the Wranglers.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the seasons, Lord. We thank you for our health. We thank you for the salvation that was paid for, that price of the blood that was shed for us. not only forgive us of our sins, but also to remove our afflictions from us. And we thank you so much for that precious blood, Lord. And we do pray through the prayer filter and pray that you perfect our prayers, Lord. And this morning we do stand tall and we pray on that armor of Ephesians.
Yes.
Pray that you gird our loins with truth and shod our feet in preparation of the gospel of peace. Put on us that breastplate of righteousness. Grant us the sword of the Spirit and shield of faith. Lord, wrap us in that mantle of zeal and seal us off with that helmet of salvation. Lord, we do pray that you help us to stand firm against the attacks of the enemy, Lord. We know that there are those out there that come to steal, kill, and destroy, Lord. And we do pray that you give us the tools that we need, Lord, to be able to protect ourselves and protect our family. Lord, wrap us in the cloak of those guardian angels, Lord. And I pray that we'd always seek first the better things, Lord, the things of your kingdom. Lord, we do pray for your guidance today, Lord. We pray for this program we're on this morning. Lord, we pray that everything we speak would be truth, Lord, and that it'd be of benefit to your remnant. Lord, we do pray for our nation. Lord, we see your hand, your wrath all around us, Lord. And we do pray that in your wrath you remember mercy, Lord, and that you would deliver your people. Lord, we pray that we would humble ourselves, Lord, that we bow our stiff necks and we'd repent of our sins, Lord, and come back to you and once again be that great and blessed nation that was founded on the rock, Lord. And I pray that you would bring our country back to be one that seeks you first in your kingdom. We do lift up all these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to the remnant out there. We thank you for joining us this Saturday morning, March 19th. It's the year ending of 2015, the solar year. It ends up yesterday and today. And it's what our pastor taught us and called 91st Days. We have a 91st Days packet. Remnant, if you're maybe I don't mean it bad, but if you're a latecomer or if you're just not familiar with it, we print them up. I've got one here in front of me, and it is a good overview, and it just kind of describes. It's got a couple of writings, short writings by Pastor Peters called Special Alert for Overcomers, and it's back from years ago when the pastor first put this out, and also. Another writing that kind of gives you the background that the pastor used for putting this out. And so we have it available. We'll send it to you at no charge. It's called the 91st Days Packet. And but we encourage you to, if you're not familiar with them, it's a call our pastor put out, and it's a call we still put out. Observe the 91st Days. You know, read the 91st Psalm. I thought we'd read that here this morning before we got too far into the program. And be in prayer. Well, in the words of our pastor, observe the sacred days and live. How about that? And they were, our pastor took them seriously, and I think we should as well. Well, let's read the 91st Psalm. I've got it open here, if that's all right with you gentlemen, and we'll read through this, and it is a prayer. It's a prayer of praise. It's a promise. It's a promise from God to his people. It was a promise back in the days of David, and it is a promise that is just as valid this March 19th, 2016, as it ever has been. It's ifs and thens, but what a great promise it is. We'll read it. Psalms 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, folks, we encourage you to be familiar with that Psalms 91. Read it with your children. Share it with friends. It is a promise. Well, we're still in a war. We're still in a battle. And it is, in a sense, I think, battle plans in the battle that we're in. And again, we've got the 91st day packet. If you'd like to have that, we'd be glad to mail it to you. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Or you can send us an email and with your address, and we'll mail it to you. And our email is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. Well, Jason, we'll go down to you. Didn't know if you had something particular you wanted to share this morning.
Not really. I'm going to have to call back in because I got a horrible echo. Is there anything different or something going on there, you think? Or?
Well, we...
I've got it too, Jason.
Do you?
I've got it too.
Let me see if I can... Let's see... bring something down a little bit here. We had to change the output from the board over to that Telos to get it there. Don't know if that's helping any or not. Made a couple modifications there to the board.
1, 2, 3. Yeah, it's better, but it's still there.
Yeah, we had the don't know if just the output from the Mackie board that was going into the Telos had just wasn't giving us anything. Let me back that down a little bit too. There's the output to the Telos. See if that's don't know if that's helping or not.
Testing 1, 2, 3. It's helping a little bit, but there's still a pretty strong echo delay. You got audio coming going to from the Telos back to us for some reason. You got a loop going on.
Okay. Well, is that any better there?
Yeah, that's better, I think.
Josh, we still have you there? Did we lose you there for a second, Josh?
No, sir, I'm here.
Okay. Well, we'll try that. It's on a stereo feed. We'll see if that'll get us through this morning, and we'll just have to check those outputs sometimes.
Well, back to the Psalms 91, and this is nothing new or shaking news, but the thing about Psalms 91 is it is an absolute statement. There's no political doublespeak, and it's simple. It's not one of the complicated things of the world, of the Word. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. no evil will befall you, nor any plague come near your tent. And the thing about those statements like that, that are just straightforward and simple, is it's such a faith builder. It is His absolute word. And in times like the times are today, whenever you've got people that are looking to the government, that are looking to the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or a certain number of bullets that they have stored up, or their guns or gold, or, you know, it is so important to store up your treasures with Him. I'm not saying not to do those other things, to have your guns and your ammo and your food. That is just like having oil in your lamp. It's preparation. It's something that we are charged to do by Him. But we have got to make Him our refuge every single day. Every morning when we get up, we've got to look to Him and thank Him for what we have.
Yes.
And have Him to be that rock, that foundation that our lives are built upon. Not just our ideals and our thoughts of what salvation is, but it's got to be a way of life that you live every day, that you are seeking Him and doing your best to have kingdom living, even in the days of Babylon, which is where we are today. You see a lot of satanical influence, and you know, there's a lot of wickedness out there, but we've got His word that if we will make Him our refuge, that no evil will befall us, and nor will any plague come near our tent. And sometimes, well, people will say, well, I'm trying to live right, and I'm trying to do right, and this happened to me, and this is a bad thing, and, you know, what am I doing wrong? Well, a lot of the times, as we spoke before the broadcast, whenever something happens, and you think it's something that's just terrible, and, how am I going to make it through it? But once you do make it through it, you realize what a blessing it was to you, and maybe to the people around you. It's not always about you. You know, there's some things that we go through that build up the body, you know, that may give us that experience to learn how to handle a situation, and then we're able to share that with other people later on. And I would just say to the remnant out there, don't get discouraged whenever things don't go your way, because we don't always know if they're going our way or not. You know, pray for those eyes to see and stay in the Word, and that He'll give us discernment to know where we should be each and every moment of every day, and that He would guide our decisions, and just try to live your life for Him. And as I said right here, if we make Him our refuge, we will prosper.
Amen. Yeah, the Bible teaches so many. I guess it doesn't come out from the Judeo-Christian pulpits, you know, is that, you know, our Lord, He rebukes those that He loves, as a father does a son, and He gives His children trials and tribulations. You know, it rains on the just and the unjust. It rains on those that, you know, and that means that the trials, the tribulations, the problems, they come on everybody. But a big thing is how we deal with them and who we lean on. Where is our refuge? Where is our rock? Where is our foundation when those things happen? And if we read in Psalms 91 and we believe it and we apply it and we dwell in the shelter of the Most High, then we are covered by Him, and we do have that comfort that comes from Him. In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3, I think it's 3 and 4. Let me take a look here. Yeah, here it is, 3 and 4. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction." Many people just stop right there and they say, see, God will comfort you in all the affliction you have, and that is very true. He will. He does. When you have Him as your refuge, when you look to Him for your health, safety, and welfare, when you're obedient to Him, when you've not only believed, but lived your life according to that belief. I like how you put that, Josh, that every day you need to live Psalms 91, because it is a statement. But it goes on here. Verse 4 says, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And you hit the nail on the head there, Josh. You know, there's a reason that we have to go through the whatever you want to call it, the problems, the trials, the struggles. And there's multiple reasons, really. I think one of them is for us to learn. For us to learn not to count on our gold and our guns and our silver and our food stores, but to count on Him. And then when we are comforted by Him, then this applies. It is so that we learn. We get a little more experienced. We get a little more, we grow in His grace and knowledge so that we can comfort others. So that it's almost like the Great Commission in preaching the gospel. So we can learn, and then we can have that 20/20 hindsight. I know when I look back at gone through, you know, man, when you're going through them, they're tough. It's like, why, Lord, why? You know, but years later, when you can look back on them, you can see His hand. You can see that He was there with you through the whole thing. And that you can see that now, you know, that had to happen. You had to have gone through that. That's the only way to learn the lesson. That's the only way to become the, you know, the servant that He wants us to be.
Well, in those trying situations, it is hard, but you got to look. If you're going to see the good in those situations, it really helps to be looking for the good.
Yes.
In those situations, and trying and ask Him, say, Lord, okay, what is it that I'm supposed to be learning here? I realize I'm in a bind and that I don't know what to do. Show me what it is that I'm supposed to be learning, and I pray that that I'll be able to learn the easy way instead of the hard way, because sometimes we're a little bit stubborn and stiff necked and don't really want to hear what He's telling us, because sometimes it hurts. And so it is wise to seek those lessons and hear from Him whenever He's telling you with that small voice. Then it's better to do that than it is to wait until He's pounding it into you with a hammer.
Amen.
But He will
exactly.
Show you. Whichever way you choose.
Along those lines that I got written down here on my desk that I think fit right in that category. First one's found in Nahum 1:7. It says, the Lord is a good stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. And I think that's a good example. You know, I mean, it's, you know, we got to make sure that He knows that we trust Him. And 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 9 says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And I think, you know, I've thought about that one a lot of times. I mean, sometimes, you know, sometimes when we have these fiery trials in our lives, that's just the way we feel. We feel like we're forsaken. We feel like we're destroyed. And I think that one does a good job of explaining that, hey, even though you're going through this, you're not forsaken, you're not destroyed, you're not overcome. It's a trial and that He's near. If you look through the Psalms, you can find, I mean, there's just a number of scriptures that fit this category and this subject that we're talking about. Psalms 138:7 is a good one. It says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. And, I think it's a very valid point. He's got to be our first and foremost go-to. But you know, like we've said in the past too, it's not in that day of trouble, it's not the time to be trying to make up for lost time. You know, now is the time. There's no time like the present to get to having that relationship with the Heavenly Father. Learn to rely on Him now, because it's something that, you know, it takes work. It's a muscle. It's you know, as you grow closer to God, it's a growing process. And, you know, faith, exercising faith, that's something that you don't just have it. It's something that it needs to be worked on. It needs to be exercised. And now's the time to be doing that. Not when you got your door kicked in or you know, at that last second. It's something that as you start calling upon the Lord to be your Savior from the hands of your enemies, from those that hate you, from those that want to steal from you, from those that want to kill you, from those that want to destroy you, as you start doing it now, it's something that it'll become a second nature in the future. It's something that as you do it, the more you do it, the better off you are at it. And I just encourage people, don't wait till that last minute to call on the Lord to save you.
Amen.
Well, and that's, you know, the Bible makes reference to the strong man, and if you look at it in a worldly manner, it's the same thing. These guys that do this strongman competition, they don't go and lift weights the morning they have the competition. You know, they eat right, and they exercise daily and put forth the effort, and it takes an effort. But it is so, there's so much value in the pursuit of growing yourself and being that strongman that you can't spend your time on anything any better. You can't invest in anything that's any better than having favor in the Lord's eyes, because we know that favor is better than any riches, any gold or silver that can be laid up to you. It'd be to have the favor of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. You know, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins comes to mind. You know, the understanding is these virgins are Christians today, and so it's the parable of the wise and the foolish Christian. They all understood that they all believed. How about that? They all believed that the bridegroom was coming. They all believed who the bridegroom was. They believed. But two groups, and they did two different things. You know, it's found in Matthew 25. We'll read a couple quick verses here. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. See, they all knew the bridegroom was coming. They knew who he was, and they knew he was coming. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with the lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No. No. There will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Folks, this is the kingdom of heaven. This is what Jesus Christ himself said is what the kingdom of heaven is comparable to. The door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." You need to not be the foolish Christian. These foolish virgins, they believed. They just weren't ready. They weren't ready. They didn't have that oil of understanding. They didn't have things in order. They had not gone and purchased what they needed to purchase to be ready for the kingdom. They just didn't, in the words of our pastor, they just didn't buy it. They just didn't buy it. So you need to be ready.
That readiness was between those virgins, you know, and the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't a physical thing that they right. were talking about. And it's a spiritual thing. And that's something that we've each got to do for ourselves. We can't depend on somebody else to be the go-between between our relationship, between us and God. It's got to be something that you yourself seek and purchase.
Yes.
As you just said, purchase it with your time, purchase it with your love and affection and your tithe and everything that goes along with it that is the little that he requests of us for him to give us so much.
Amen. He tells us to buy from him gold. But like you said, Josh, it's not physical gold. It's not. It's in the message to the church in Laodicea and found in Revelation 3. You know, he says, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. See, I think that ties in. That's those foolish Christians today. They think they got it figured out. I believe. And my preacher on Sunday told me that's all I got to do. I'm good. I don't need nothing else. That other preacher, he told me that there's nothing I can do. Jesus did it all. And there's nothing I can do, nothing I need to do, but believe. And I think that's that lukewarm church. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And Jesus Christ says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. So you do. There's a price to pay. Oh, it is a free gift. It's the gift of salvation. It is. It's a free gift. It is purchased without money. We are redeemed without money. But that only fits because we were sold for nothing. But you have to buy it.
And this whole conversation to me is very relative to the news that is around us right now. That's so prevalent that they're covering this presidential election. I mean, it's everywhere you look is the presidential election. And the way Babylon works is they will give you options. But none of the options that they give you are actually the one that's right for you. They're never going to tell you, you know, well, you don't have to settle for Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. You know, you don't have to pick the lesser of two evils. You know, you pray for a good godly man. You're not going to hear that. They're going to box you into a corner and give you the choice of whether you'd like to choose wrong, sin, or wrong. And that's just something we got to watch as Christians. And watching the way that we speak to each other and the way that we think and say, well, this one's the lesser of the evils. Well, if it's evil, we're still not supposed to be for it, whether it's less evil or more evil. The Bible tells us that, you know, those there, if, what is the scripture that I'm looking for? I just looked at it. Who can be for, who can be against this forest, you know? And either you're for the Word, you're for Christ, you're for the Holy Spirit, or you're against it, one or the other. And if you're not on our side, you're not our friend. And that we should not be found politicking for somebody that's not on our side.
I thought it was interesting this week that Glenn Beck, you know, he was gotten big into it, and boy, he came out and his quote was, "If Cruz is not elected, then the blood's on our hands." And you know, I mean, gee, just talk about you know, insanity, and it's interesting because I mean, there's so many different directions you can go, but as far as you know what's been happening in the presidential debate. there's a lot of people that are just fed up with all of them. And the more people that I've talked to, the more people are just like, there's nothing worthwhile out there.
I think their eyes are being opened to the truth. To the truth. The world doesn't offer anything but death and destruction. Maybe that pistol prayer we've been praying, maybe those prayers are being answered. What do you think? You think the sorcery of DC is starting to wane? It's starting to not be as effective as it was?
Yeah, I mean, I know it is. I mean, there's a lot of things that have taken place, and it's just, I think people are just, they just had enough on a lot of different fronts. It's you see people waking up when you see people starting to change their diets and starting to change what they, what they're looking at the TV, and there's people that are just turning their TVs off. I talked to somebody the other day, and they, it was somebody that I would have never imagined, it was somebody that watched the news every night, every morning, and I never thought that they would live without a TV. Had a TV as long as I'd known them. And they said, well, I talked to them the other day, and they said, well, you'd be proud of me. I had my TV turned off. I'm like, oh, really? When did you do that? And 3 months ago. I'm like, how's that going for you? I mean, I figured there had to have been some kind of withdrawal symptoms after being plugged in for that long. And they were just as happy as could be. And, that tells me that the spell's breaking.
Yes. Yes. And there's plenty of other things to do besides watch your TV, besides being glued to, whether it's Beck or Fox News or whatever, just so you know what's going on. Yeah, there's plenty of other things to do. I don't read in these scriptures that's one of the commandments that we're, as Christians, commanded to do. It's kind of like that gold and silver. Nothing wrong with, with checking on the news and seeing what's going on, but it's a big difference in just being glued to it and then believing all of it, believing all of it, because it's all doom and gloom. Your joy is not going to be made full from watching Fox. I mean, it's just as simple as that. It's not. There's good news, and that comes from His Word. That is His Word. And the rest of it, it's hard-pressed to fit into that category of good news.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's, it's interesting, though, just to see how hard, I noticed this week that, even furthermore, there's this pro-agenda for, genetically modified foods, and it's interesting because there I've never seen you've seen the anti people that are trying to expose what GMOs and what the foods are doing to people, as far as everything from the Monsanto Corporation to the different corporations that are involved in it, to the corn, to the wheat, to the what they're feeding our animals, and to the genetically modified animals. And it is, it's been an ongoing battle for a long time. Here recently they got a co-op here, growers co-op down here along the Front Range. And, I was looking at some of their speaking lists and read an article by one guy that was going to be speaking at one of their conventions, and just all on it, just pro GMO, and it was another article that talked about how healthy they were for people and how we can provide food for millions of low-cost food, and you know how the cost was, and how science wouldn't allow something to be eaten that wasn't healthy for you, and how the scientists knew what they were doing, and this and that, and I mean basically, and it's interesting because on that front lately, I've noticed a lot of propaganda as far as that's concerning. And it's really encouraging to me because it tells me that, hey, these people that have been fighting the GMO stuff is ineffective. It's working. People are getting educated and people are asking the questions. Is this genetically modified or is it not? And if it is, they don't want it. And I was talking with a doctor friend of mine here in town, and she's got a fairly large practice, and I'm known her for a lot of years, and you know, she says that 99% of the people that are coming into her office and then that they're talking about diet, that people are staying away from, doing a good job at staying away from genetically modified food. And, you know, she said people are willing to spend the money now just to buy something healthy because they realize that, you know, that's their best life insurance plan that they can have is to take better care of their body. And, you know, that's encouraging on that front because that was something that's been fought for a long time and it never seemed to gain very much ground.
Yeah, praise the Lord, people are waking up. And you know, waking up is a process. Doesn't always happen overnight.
No, it doesn't.
And I think the return to God.
Things that it could with the working of the Holy Spirit. And
yes.
You know, I thought about that a lot is, you know, what happens if the working of the Holy Spirit went across the land and all of a sudden everybody woke up one morning and they knew what their enemies had done to them as far as spiritually, if they knew that they'd been lied to by just about every preacher on the face of the earth, you know, that they've been lied to about their salvation, if they've been lied to about their health, if they've been lied about who they were, just think about what their rage that would cause.
Well, guys, get the phone line ringing this morning. Let me get the buttons pushed. We'll take a caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, is this me?
Yes, good morning.
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning, Joe.
You mentioned, yeah, good morning, all. Hope you're well. I'm tuning in on the streaming on WTWW website, and you're doing good there. The shortwave is extremely poor until you switch to 9475, and then it's good most all the day. Shortwave propagation and even amateur radio stuff is just in the tank. So I guess you're going to have to just live with it for a while.
That's the time of year.
Things get better.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, you're talking about GMOs, genetically modified organisms. A lot of people don't even know what a genetically modified organism is. It's basically what we've been doing for centuries and centuries is not laboratory manipulation, but selective breeding. It's been going on for centuries. It's only now that we're having, instead of mixing the seed, we're putting animal genes in with plant-based organisms on a molecular level. But anyway, I've noticed a couple of times these libertarian type podcast webcast, they're talking there's a strain of corn now that's being promoted overseas. It's called it's called golden rice or yellow rice. And what it is they're taking corn, the essence of the corn, and I suppose it's the color of the corn. I guess that's keratin, they call it. They're infusing it with the rice seed. and they're introducing it into these impoverished nations, and people are responding to it favorably. But what they don't know, what they don't realize, is that just for an example, my father, during the last 20 years or so of his life, he had suffered from heart problems, and he had bypass surgery and so forth, and he lasted a good long time, but his diet was extremely poor when he stayed home. He was kind of an outpatient at one of the local VA hospital, and he went into, he admitted himself a number of times to the hospital to have various things done to him, and when he came out of the hospital, he was all, I mean, he was very vigorous, his legs didn't hurt him, and he would go play golf, and all of that added energy it put into his system was the result of eating hospital food, as opposed to just having a white bread sandwich with a piece of, you know, a piece of ham or something on it, and some margarine. That was his basic diet. I never saw him once eat a blade of lettuce in my entire life. I never saw him eat a salad. But he was forced to eat three square meals a day at the hospital, and it gave him that added energy, and it revitalized his system for a period of about 2 weeks. But you look at hospital food, all it is just junk. But it was worlds better than what he was eating at home. And it's the same thing with this golden rice. It's better than what these third worlders have been eating all their lives, and it's giving them added health, but it's still poor because it's bereft of nutrition. Rice is grown in places where a cow in his right mind wouldn't go into those rice paddies, because lots of times this rice is being grown in human waste. I'm sorry to say it in that fashion, but that's the truth.
Yeah, in your third world countries, it is. It's always been that way in those countries. It always has. It always has.
But when you put this new and certainly more nutritious food product within reach of these people, their bodies aren't going to be, respond to it favorably. But there is it's diminishing return. It's sort of, you know, you can enjoy added vigor to your life, but it in the long run, it's going to hurt you. Just maybe not as bad as eating monkey meat, but it's, you know, you understand my point?
Yeah, I do. And it, you know, it's one of those things. It's like even the corn that they're producing today, you know, that's genetically modified, you know, they'll come out, you can look at it and you can see that, you know, an animal will flourish on it. I mean, they'll do great on it. They need less of it. They'll gain more weight on it. And, you know, it's phenomenal as far as that, as far as the short term. But as what, you know, the danger isn't in the short term, it's in the long term. You know, even the, you know, U.S. Department of Agriculture and, you know, they've done several studies that are showing that, hey, you know, when people are eating this, you know, genetically modified corn, it don't affect them for a year or 2 years, but 5-10 years down the road, 75% of them, I can't remember the exact number, but 75% of them are sterile. You know, that's where the dangers come in, is a lot of times is down the road when long-term side effects.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
I think that's what we're getting a lot of. We're seeing a lot of that today, you know, with people's health. It's you know, it's something that if you go out and if you eat some genetically modified corn or some rice or this or that, is it going to kill you? No, it's not going to kill you, and it's not going to kill you right now. But if there's a long-term a plan to control. And if you look at a lot of this stuff, I mean, it's something that doesn't affect you right now, but a prolonged use And, you know, we got to remember that a lot of times our enemies aren't thinking, you know, here and now for this generation, but they're thinking generation and generation down the road. And I believe that that's one of the things that they've targeted with is the food is, you know, they're saying, oh, yeah, it's not bad for you right now. You look at a 30-day test or you look at a 60-day or 90-day or, you know, study. Oh, yeah, everything looks good. But what happens when you have generation upon generation eating that substance, the primary use of food for three generations? What happens to them then?
Yeah. Well, Joe, thanks for the call. We got a couple more lines ringing. We'll try to get them.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll stay with the phone lines. Well, here's another one. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, guys. It's Dee in Oklahoma.
Hi, Dee.
Hey, couple things on the TV. I used to watch probably 2 hours a night, and I just recently quit. I'm down to probably 2 hours a week. I'm trying to keep it just to weather and maybe one show I really like, The Middle. And other than that, pretty much I got tired of these shows that are putting the other races as if they're in the majority and putting them over whites. And I got tired of all the commercials for pharmaceuticals. And talking about GMO, we recently got a Trader Joe's. And I love these Doritos. But I got to look on the package. It didn't say organic on the front. On the back, it said made with organic corn. And when I talked to the people, they said, well, anything 97% or less, they can't say organic on the front. And so they wouldn't tell me how much. Well, obviously, I won't eat that product anymore. But and then the final thing I called in about, I don't know where you guys are on all the presidential race. I would suspect you probably don't like any of them that well. And maybe Trump's the closest. But one thing I'm seeing, when you look at kind of the big picture, is whether you like Trump or not, his policies or his personality, is they've made him into either a monster or a clown. And he speaks out against, like, illegals, Muslims, things like that. And they're putting him in the same group as, like, ISIS that beheads people and burns people. And it seems to me that they're trying to put out, subconsciously even, these memes that if you speak your mind, if you stand up for yourself, if you act like a man and not a metrosexual, if you speak out against illegal immigration or Muslims, that somehow you're a Hitler or you're crazy or, you know. And I think it's sending a message to everyone to just shut up and have this homogenous belief system of what they tell us to believe, which is basically anything goes, except for the white male, the European white male European heritage, except for anyone that speaks against homosexuality, or, you know, so they're setting up this kind of, I don't know, it just seems to me. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah, I think we're seeing a lot of that in the media, too. I mean, you say anything about immigration, oh yeah, well, they got a whole list of names for you already. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. It's you know, they want people just to shut up and stick their head in between their legs and just let everything just go on without saying anything. They're trying to get people to be non-confrontational, non-controversial, They're trying to eliminate that. I mean, that's why they come up with a whole list of these, you know, where they call them the haters and the truthers. And they come up and they label people with these different names. And nobody wants to be labeled as a name. Nobody wants to say, oh, I'm one of these or I'm one of those. And it's a way of just shutting people up.
I saw where, I think it was Breitbart or Politico, but several Republicans have now come out, different, not politicians, but they're second-level people, have come out and said that they should have a hit list of like Sean Hannity and Ann Coulter and different ones that have supported Trump. And so they're turning on their own group even, and they're wanting to, I guess, basically ruin anyone that supports him. And I'm not totally a Trump person, don't get me wrong, but it's the idea that anyone who's not a politician, anyone who doesn't follow their rules and speak as you're supposed to speak, they're going to basically ruin you. And it seems like it's sending a message to everybody. And I don't know if he's participating in this or if he truly is a rebel, but either way, it's sending that message to everybody, I think.
Yeah, and I think it shows, too, that the Republicans, for the majority of them, the ones you're talking about, their true colors are showing. And the people are starting to see that there ain't a dime's worth of difference between them and those that call themselves the Democrats. That they're all in this Babylonian system, and they're all neck deep in it, and they'll do anything and come against anybody that threatens their system. They will. Well, Dee, we're about out of time. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Well, the scripture that I couldn't find earlier, I couldn't put my hand on, was Matthew 12:30. That he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And when you're looking at those politicians, and whenever you're, if you're listening to them, the ones that don't claim to be Christians aren't Christians, and it doesn't take a lot of discernment to gather that. But even the ones that claim to be Christians, that's when you look at them by their fruit, and yes. And pray for discernment to know them by their fruits and who they are. And that is the only government, you know, as far as that we can put in place, would be the kingdom government, and which will be led by godly Christian men. And if somebody is not a Christian, they are not fit for service.
Amen. And we have gotten to this point because we have we are generations into forsaking God, generations into turning away from Him, and this is the result of that. Jason, I couldn't help but think when you were talking about what's it going to be like, you know, when you have these GMOs, they might not kill you today when you eat it, but what about your children or your grandchildren or your great grandchildren? You know, if they make it, what kind of shape are they going to be in? And we're seeing it. We're seeing second and third generation people and the physical ailments that they're having because of this primary diet of this crud food, these GMOs. And I think that's a very good physical symbology or whatever, if you will, of guess what it's like three or four generations without God, without God and God's law being the law of your land. And this is where we're at. This is where we're at. You look around, and this is what you have after a few generations of the majority of people just doing whatever they want to do, going after the short fix and tolerance and being lukewarm. Well, thanks for joining us. To you, the remnant, we hope you have a blessed 91st day, the rest of today and tomorrow, and then we'll invite you to church. Come visit us at church tomorrow. We'll be having church services at the LaPorte Church of Christ. The good Lord willing, and the roads don't freeze. And that'll be at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. Hopefully we'll see you there.
Rolling, 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 stay high. This country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever.
God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, big high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more.
Stay high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake Highs. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our.